You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Good morning, Roxy Suxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam.
I can't believe that I'm in your presence and I'm sitting next to you in our actual first studio. It's like our first studio apartment. And here we are. Would you share my bed with me here in our first studio apartment?
Only if it's a twin.
Would you do toesies and footsies with me? Just the first toe.
The first 5 minutes, and then I get too hot. Then I'd be like, move.
I know this is like, I jumped into like another subject straight away, but do you know the weirdest text I ever get is from men asking to see my feet?
Oh, so weird.
I know. Like, gone are the days where it's like, you know, show me this body part. It's like, show me your feet. Yeah. And I'm like, people are so weird.
There is a strong foot fetish community out there, you know? Yeah.
It's funny because we're actually interviewing someone in a few hours, and he actually made $10,000 by selling. We'll go into that next time. But selling $10,000 selling pictures of his feet. I mean, you got to do what you got to do when you first get to America, right?
You could get $10,000 for your feet. That's kind of a win.
But didn't I tell you that one time that when I first came to America, like some guy said, like, I'll give you a BlackBerry if I massage your feet. I was like,
it's like back at that time, the BlackBerry was the thing.
They're expensive, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so the question is, did I do it?
Of course you did it.
Would you have done it?
Probably. I was like, you're 22.
I would have done it for a glass of wine.
Exactly.
I would have done it for a free cocktail.
the things we've done for free drinks. You know what's so funny? Speaking of free drinks, this also makes me think of that. It's so funny because when my husband, like when I go out, like if it's like a girl's night or what have you, he's like, well, I hope you got your drinks bought for you. Save some money. I hope you showed him your feet.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you showed him some foot fetish guy your feet to buy you some free drinks. It's buying free drinks for me. I don't know. When I got into my 30s, I was just like, I was at a grocery store yesterday, and this guy like looked at me and goes, nice glasses. And it was like in like a sexual tone. And I was like, I like looked around and I was like, me? I was like, are you? Wait, are you talking to me? And I took them off because I needed to be like four eyes. So then I took them off and I was like, oh, I just went to yoga. And I'm normally like a little more fresh in this. And then I was like, what am I doing? I'm married. Like, I've got kids. So I put my glasses back on. I was like, yeah, thanks. And I walked away.
A little flirt is kind of fun sometimes.
I don't ever get it. I'm just old and done. This next guest is not old and done. She is in her prime. And they say like 27, like your late 20s. Is the best time of your life, even though I was like super confused in my late 20s.
Were you?
I kind of didn't like myself. I mean, I look back and I was like, I wish I had realized how cute I was.
Right.
And like, you don't realize until you get out of your 20s how like you're so beautiful in your 20s.
Yes. Like, and every 5 to 10 years now, looking back, you'll say the same thing.
Yeah. You're so cute. Right? And you're like, just, cute. It's the best time of your life. Although, yeah, I didn't feel it. So we're going to ask our next guest if she feels like it is the best time of her life. Cause I feel like it really could be.
Yeah. No, it literally is. Cause it's sort of like that time you can still kind of get away with saying like, oh, I'm in my 20s. I'm still figuring things out. Yeah. Like trying to
growing up, it's fine.
Yeah. Totally fine.
I can give you a BlackBerry with you. You know, give me a BlackBerry if you massage my feet. That's a 20s thing. Like a 30s thing, that'd be like,
exactly. Past that, it's like, really? Yeah, that's all creepy. Yeah.
Who do we have today, Roxy Soxy?
Well, so excited to have this guest on. She is a TikTok sensation. She became super popular during the pandemic. She's
not even super popular, like
insane popular.
Like insane popular.
Like crazy
like
popular.
Embarrassing to other people
popular. Yes. In like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And
it's only taken me 3 years, but I'm not going to cry. It's fine.
Totally. It's fine. So she must share all of her viral secrets with us. She's also a mom, and she is just, I love watching the videos of her with her little one. Yeah. So sweet, so cute. And so we're so excited to welcome Kat Stickler on the show today. Yes.
Welcome. I'm so excited. You guys are great already. I'm like, this is going to be fun.
You're great already. I didn't expect much, but you're great.
I love it. So back to the foot fetish. What do you think about the foot fetish for a BlackBerry? Have
people ask you about your feet?
Oh my God, so many. In fact, when you said that, I was like, I'm not the only one. Like, they ask other people. I thought I had really great feet.
You know,
do you have good feet?
Yeah.
My feet are very nice. Yeah.
Same.
You know what would be hilarious though? See. If you sent like the most gangly, like disgusting picture, like when they request,
like
toenails, like growing sideways, like yellow feet, you know, like yellow nails. Like, everything. Yeah,
totally. So just send out
me. Be like, this is so hot. Yes, of course I'll send you a photo.
Do you know what's really funny is like, I don't, growing up, I never really was like, oh, I like this about myself, but I liked two things about myself. And one was my mouth. Cause I just have lip. I don't know. My dad's got really like a big mouth. So like, I liked my mouth and my feet for some reason. So Kat, what do you like about yourself?
I love my boobs.
Oh girl. Yes.
We do not.
Yeah. I know.
Mine took me a while. Cause after breastfeeding, they looked so different. Yes. But it's like embracing the new ones. And I love my smile. I love my shoulders and my stomach, my butt.
Like, I love it all.
I think I love myself.
That's so good. That's such a healthy outlook. Cause I know for me, like you were saying, like after you have a baby, it changes so many things on your body. And it's really taken me a long time. I mean, I don't even think I'm 100% there yet. You know, like I look at my boobs, they're like kind of droopier than they were
my
before.
My one's droopier.
Right. It's sure. like the stud and the dud, right?
Mine are the same size. It's like the nipple. It's like been through so much, you know,
been through war.
Like, I got to make them cold before it's time to show them. I'm like, and then they just perk up, which is good. Yeah. But.
And I saw a few, I think it was a picture on Instagram where your little one MK still like boob, right?
Yeah.
Still thinks that there's like milk and she's going to be fed, but obviously we're like, are you done? You're done breastfeeding.
I'm done.
Right?
I'm done.
You're done.
That was a tricky time, right? Because when you dry them up, it's like fire. It feels like fire shooting out of your boobs. You know,
everyone said that I had no pain because I did it a different way. So I would breastfeed her one night and then not the next day, and then breastfeed her and then not the next day. And she gradually weaned and they gradually did it. I didn't stop cold turkey like that. And it wasn't painful.
Oh, that's smart. So
when I had my daughter, my first daughter at 29, actually, and I was just like, I didn't feel like I was a young mom, but I guess I was. You were much younger than that. And I really suffered. I didn't with my second, but with my first, I really suffered like a loss of identity. I suffered, I guess it was postpartum depression. I felt like my whole world had completely had a truck that came through it. And you were a young mom going through so much. And at that time as well, like, how did it feel having a baby so young?
Mm.
I think it was also like, I was kind of just dating and having fun and had my whole life in front of me. And then this just changed everything. So yeah, I totally get that. I still like vividly remember not feeling like I was my own person. Like, especially after I gave birth, like during the pregnancy, like, I don't know if it was hormones. I was like, this is awesome. I love it. But it was after I gave birth, especially the first couple months, I felt like I was living somebody else's life. Like, I was in a dream my whole pregnancy, and then I woke up and this was my life. And I was like, what on earth? Like, this is not what I signed up. This was not my blueprint for what my life was going to look like. But yeah, I totally identify with that. I had postpartum depression so bad. And like, people talk about, I was a good mom. Like, I was an active mom. I was present to her, but I couldn't connect. Like, I was like, I just couldn't, but I loved her. I don't even know how to describe it. And then I went to my OB just for like a checkup. And I was usually so bubbly with the nurses, and I would like, you know, always talk with them, and we would always be laughing. And I literally walked in like a zombie, like, get me out of here. And then my OB is actually the one that brought it up. And then I started crying. And I'm like, I just dated this guy for 3 months and now we're married and have a baby and my apartment's like 600 square feet and I don't sleep. And I'm like, I just like lost it. And then she prescribed me stuff, which is always also taboo because like it goes to the breast milk and the baby gets the antidepressants and then they have to like get weaned off of it and all this stuff. But it's like literally less than 1%. I just went on a rant. Yes, I'm very passionate about that. And no one told me about it. I thought it would be the best time of my life. And then I was like, why do I like, it wasn't suicidal. Like I never like saying I wanted to kill myself. I just didn't
want to be going
want to be there. Like I didn't want to be like, I thought someone else could do it so much better than me. Like I was just a fraud. Like I didn't belong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm all better now.
You're like, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're like, now I'm in the like toddler yeah. zone. So it's like, yeah.
We're good fine. Now. It's fine.
Yeah.
Did you suffer post? I mean, I know you I know, definitely did, but did you?
You know, okay, so here's
such what, a go-getter. I feel like you'd be like, I'm fine.
So like, I think it hit me, like I had a delayed like the blues because the like the week I was in the hospital, because I had a C-section. So mm-hmm. it was like, you know, that's you're in the hospital for like a longer. So yeah. I was actually like, I think the hormones were kicking in and I'm like, this is actually fun. You know, there's like mm-hmm. the nurses are coming in, waiting on you, mm-hmm. like doing the whole thing. And then we took baby home. Yeah. And I think that's when it hit, when we got home and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, those first 2 weeks, you know, I'm still kind of recovering from the mm-hmm. surgery. Right. And like, you know, trying to get figure out what the schedule is. It's a lot of drama. But I think for me, it really hit about 6 weeks after mm-hmm. because I was by that time so sleep deprived, like,
right.
and so much more tired than the initial first, mm-hmm. like, when I was still a little bit like had the hormones going,
yeah.
that 6 week thing, I was like, oh my God. I remember grabbing my husband, David, like, by
why did you
no, I'm like, it's all your fault. No, I grabbed him by the shirt and I was like, you have to come home today from work. Cause he was, you yeah. know, back to work. You have to come home today from work at like noon. Like I need to sleep. Like mm-hmm. I can't, like, I've got to have that. Okay. He was so scared that he was like, okay, I'll be here, you know, like, and came and did that. But I think that's when it really, for me, it really hit. It was like a delayed almost. Wow. You know, kind of sad, mm-hmm. not sadness, and that's not the right word, I don't think, but it's like you kind of a bluesy, like, you right kind of
feel
like numb,
yeah, yes. Then it's like yes. a numbness. And I know because I study so much about health and wellness, and your hormones drop so fast, and mm-hmm. we've been spoon-fed the narrative that like women, it needs to be the most beautiful and best mm-hmm. time of your life, and also like you're gonna feel great, and you know it. But the problem is we don't have, which at least I didn't coming from Australia, like there's no community. Like I didn't have like aunts and uncles and parents and friends. And mm-hmm. like, I had no one who had a kid. I'm sure Kat, you're similar to that. Mm-hmm. Like I had no one around me, and like your mom comes and helps you when they mm-hmm. can, but like they have their lives too. Right.
Yeah.
So you're just,
you have no idea what to do. Like what?
Yeah,
how do I didn't even know how to bathe her. I'm like, do I, will it hurt her if I put the water on her? Do I get in with her? Like I didn't know anything.
And how about yeah. breastfeeding too? Starting breastfeeding, you're like, is this right? Like, is it this position? Is it like
this? That was probably the worst for me. I had to get a lactation consultant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not gonna help. I would see, we might be getting too gruesome here, but oh, no, she wouldn't act out correctly. Like you have to, I had to get like the special pillow, not the one that's like common. It was like a different looking pillow. I had to like lift her up, push her in. Cause I would scab and bleed and I would dread, I would cry. Cause I did not want to breastfeed her. I'm like, this hurts too much. Cause then the milk would come and it was horrible. But then I got a lactation consultant and she was like, oh, you're doing it wrong. And she just like, yeah. her.
And again, that goes back to community because yeah. if we had those people around us who had had children, mm-hmm. they would explain us, like we wouldn't have to go and hire a lactation specialist, which also costs money, by the yeah. way, and it costs a lot of money. And a lot of people don't have that financial ability to go and spend money on stuff that we're supposed to inherently know. Mm-hmm. So people just like suffer in silence. I'm a big advocate for postpartum depression. I feel like I haven't.
What you say is suffering in silence. I'm like, yeah. Oh,
I am also a big advocate for that.
So. Yeah.
You know, no, I would
go ahead.
I would literally pump my boob onto a plastic spoon, like the milk, and I would feed her spoonfuls just to avoid having to physically breastfeed her. Oh. That's how bad it was. And I was like, but I had really good insurance, so I had a free lactation consultant. But yeah, if you don't, it's like it's expensive.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
I mean, it is. It's true. It's yeah. it's all different levels, and it's so much harder for some than it is for others, right?
Right. It's different. It's different.
Yeah.
And also you went through a breakup at the same time. So what was it like going from having someone there to now being a single mom? Because I'm not very good on my own. I've realized, like, I have a codependency issues. Okay. So like, even I said to my husband, I was like, if you break up with me, I got to find someone before I break up with you. I just need to have someone there just in case, even if it's not my forever person, just so I can go to, so then I can go to someone else. And a lot of people are like that. I didn't know. I thought it was just me. So like, how did you navigate then being single and having a kid? Because that's just a whole other thing in itself.
So different. I think, because I ended up moving out and I moved into this apartment and we were like sleeping on an air mattress for like the first 3 months, but it wasn't like, it was fun. It was like, I tried to make it fun, but yeah, it was hard. I'm codependent as well. And I didn't realize how much I was. And I also wasn't aware of a lot of things, like, because when you got divorced, like all of a sudden now, like you have to spend all this money and then you weren't aware of these finances and, oh, what was this getting spent? Now it's like, everything just flips upside down. But it taught me so much about myself. It definitely gave me more confidence as a human being, just like, I can do it. Like I can do it. And it was hard dating with a kid because I would always see single moms with kids. And I would think, and I hate saying this out loud, I think in the back of my mind, like, oh, that must suck. Like when I was younger, I would see that, be like, that sucks. Cause like, who would want to date someone who has a kid that's not theirs? Right. And so I was raised by my stepdad. And I remember always thinking like, when I get married, it's going to be the father of my child. And we're just going to stay like that. And so I would literally go on dates and like down talk myself and like, be like, hey, I have a kid. Let me warn you. Yeah. Instead of like, then it transitioned to like embracing it. Like you get the creme de la creme because I'm awesome. And so is that beautiful creature I made. And It shifts how you look at yourself. You're much kinder to yourself. Yeah.
It's like you're shifting perspective, which I think is so powerful. But like some of the dates, like, especially at the beginning that you were going on, did you ever have like a date that you were just like, why the fuck did I go to this date?
Like every day.
Like, yeah. Right.
Like every single one. The worst.
Everyone.
Like what was there like a crazy, like dating, like, like one of the dates you were on, like a dating story or something?
Okay. So he just said he like didn't know who I was basically. And at that point I'd already formed a platform. People were like, oh my God, she's getting divorced. Because on social media, we were this quintessential perfect family, like perfect. Everything that displayed was perfect. Like they were caught off guard. I was caught off guard. Like it was like very difficult for me because I didn't want anyone to feel like I was lying to them. Cause I was also like, I couldn't talk about some things. So I was like very wary meeting people because I didn't want them to be like, I don't want to say clout chasers, but I feel like everyone wants to be online these days. Right. And like, and I just didn't want to be, that's just weird. Like go do it yourself. I don't know. But yeah, he just said he didn't know anything about me. And then he would like slip up throughout the whole conversation. And then like just about these things about me. And I'm like, what the frick? And he like had followed me when I was still married. And like, had this big crush on me before. And it was just so weird. I've never felt more uncomfortable. I was like, oh, are you going to murder me now? I'm going to go. Yeah,
you know where I live?
Yeah, it was, I mean, just things like that. You never know people's true intentions, I feel like.
Were you like meeting people through apps or was it like through friends?
That's hard
Like how do you meet them?
Well, I couldn't do the app thing. I just through friends or like going out if someone would like approach. But honestly, it was so hard also because I like thought I was going to be spending the rest of my life with someone. And I thought I knew who they were, you know, and you look at someone and they could be so great in the back of your mind. You're thinking, are you really that great? Like, who are you under all that? Like, what are you capable of? Cause it's always this thing. You really find out who you married when you divorce them. And so it's so weird looking at the person who you used to love and we're going to spend the rest. And like, it's a different human being, right? It's like, they're not that person anymore. And neither are you. Like you both are going through something so different. So that was probably the hardest part with dating, was just trusting it again and like being okay with it. Cause I would just have such like, you're the worst. I know it deep down. Like cause I didn't want to be caught off guard again. So.
And you said like when you were on your TikTok, it was like this perfect family. Because I think, I can't remember. I think I found you somewhere in the pandemic when I started TikTok in the pandemic as well. And I think I saw some prank video or something like that. I was like, oh, she's so cute. And so when your life kind of started to fall apart, did you feel like, even though you weren't, did you feel like, oh my goodness, people must think I'm a fraud, because like, I didn't even know what was going on. And this has been this perfect family that everyone has followed. Mm. And now people are going to think that I did know all these things and I didn't. And then you have to kind of go silent because we know how that all works. And it's like this hard thing because you want your followers to trust you, but you've also got to keep a little bit of a distance between your real life and what they see as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're grieving. Like, I was in shock. Like, Alice actually flew in from Chicago. She was living in Chicago. Alice is my manager and like one of my friends. And I couldn't stop laughing. Like, I was hysterically laughing. I've never been in shock, but people would come by. We were like at a restaurant and I was like crying, laughing, like, this is so wild. Like, what is happening? And like, it didn't hit me. Cause like, you're grieving publicly also, but you're also grieving, like losing someone and this life. So that was so hard. And I remember, you can see in that time period on my social media, I was losing my mind. Like, there's a video of me in a literal hazmat suit, because I had like an ad that they sent that over, because it was like peak COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And I like put blush here so I looked sunburned, and I'm just walking and I look like an astronaut, and I'm just losing my mind. Okay? But I'm just coping and dealing. And then even people online were like, are you okay? And then I did one where I was really vulnerable and I was like, no, I'm not okay. This sucks. Like, do you think I enjoy this? Do you think I want to do this? No, but I have to be happy for my daughter and for myself and every day. And like, I have to keep doing this, blah, blah. And then that helped people kind of understand like, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Were people like supportive of you online? Like when you started sharing more of your story about this, like, or were they like, you know, trying to tear you down? Like, what was the reaction of people? I mean, was it mixed?
Some people are very traditional. Like, I don't want to advocate divorce, obviously, but I wouldn't poke fun at it after. Like, I would impersonate my Hispanic mother. She's religious. And I would do like, she wants me to annul the marriage, so it doesn't count. So I would try to make it funny. And people, no one knows what happened, right? I signed an NDA because, well, so did he, so that our daughter, I don't know. I feel like the truth always comes out, no matter what. And I understand that. And when it does, it's going to be like mind blowing, but it just wasn't something I wanted to like people to know for me to heal, you know, like I just didn't want them to know that and like her to know that. So it was wild. People's reactions varied. People were like, you should stick through it no matter what. And then other people were very supportive. And then the misogynistic men with like, would send these comments. I would get a lot of those. The men that hadn't burned my women, I'm assuming, were like, just, they went wild.
I always realized that, like, you know, hate online, and that my one sentence I always say is, unhappiness is the fastest pipeline to hate. And when someone is really suffering in their own, like, it's a them problem, right? When someone has no idea about anything to do with you, and then they come on and they start to attack you, I'm like, wow, you've really been suffering in your own pain that has nothing to do with you. But it's hard. Like, I started acting when I was on a TV show at 14. So like, my rise was pretty quick. I was in Australia, so it was pretty quick. The show I was on was very successful, very fast. So I felt that fame element pretty fast, but it wasn't in America, right? So it was like, I was in Australia. So I was known in Australia, but then when I would leave Australia, not so much. So I had that anonymity where I was leaving. And I liked living in that for a while. And then Pretty Little Liars was the next step in America, which did that again. But I was used to it. I knew what it looked like for someone to say, oh my gosh, a point at you, or say hurtful things, or want a picture, or say you suck. Like, I was kind of used to it since I was 14 years old. Your rise to fame was so fast and so quick that I always wonder what that does to mental health, because in some ways it's like, this is fucking amazing. And in other ways, this is like, this is too much. Like, it's too much too fast for, like, you know, in our heads we go, oh, 8 million people, 10 million people follow us, but that's 10 million people. Yeah. Like, if you had those people in a room, like, you can't.
How many like Madison Square Gardens is that,
oh,
right?
Like, sometimes many they get pissed. I'm like, oh, my video only went to 300,000 and hit the millions. I'm like, if 300,000 people watched me on stage, I would be like, I couldn't even like deal. So do you think that, have you really processed that rise to fame? Because it happened so fast, and also you're going through so much of at the same time. And has it affected mental health in a good way and in a negative?
I think I came into fame when I was at an age where, because I had gone through something. I don't think if I went through what I went through prior, I would have been ready. But I went through getting pregnant. Like, right. I honestly didn't even want to go outside. I didn't want people to see me because people know each other where I live. And I literally didn't want people to know I was pregnant and I wouldn't go outside. Like, that is crazy to me. I was so embarrassed. And I think finally owning my decision to have the baby, to do all that stuff, gave me a different kind of self-assurance but you're right. Social media, like, it's someone who cares who they are, but they say this one thing and they hit the right spot and all of a sudden it hurts more than anything. And you don't remember all the great comments. Like, it would just, they go low, you go high is what I try to do. But sometimes, when they bring up how I am as a parent or whatever, I just think of it like rise above. I try not to look at the good and feel good, honestly, or the bad and feel good. I just try to like really detach only and like look in my DMs on Instagram and that's when I'll respond. But I'm a very private person actually. So before I had social media, I would always delete it for like months at a time. Like I don't like saying this, but social media knew I was getting a divorce before my family did. Like, I announced it because I was so ashamed. Like, I did not want to tell them. And so that's not good. But again, 10 million people, your family, it's like, you can't, you're just talking to a camera versus saying it to, it's like so different. So yeah, I think my age helped. Oh God.
Hello. Hi, Mom.
Let's bring you in.
So do you,
wait, you go.
I was just going to say, do you enjoy being a public person now? Like having kind of, you know, because there is good and bad, right? So it's like you get the trappings of fame, but then you also get like really cool perks too. Yeah. So it's like, do you like being a public person now?
And would you do it again?
Yeah.
Would you do it over if you could?
I would do it over because it allows me to provide for my daughter like on my own. Mm. And when I give people like advice and they reach out, that's not the reality for a lot of women. So I would do it over. And also as a woman on this platform, I don't do the dances or like the sexy, like, you know, so I think I'm also prone to a different kind of criticism, which I like the younger girls that do it and their bodies online. And if they get criticized or like something like that, mine's a different, mine is like people don't like if they don't like something, they don't think it's funny or my personality, like fine. But like, it's a different kind of critique. But yeah, I would do it over because I feel like it is a blessing. It's a huge blessing.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, would you, Tamman?
Would I do it again?
Would you do it again?
I think, like, I think so.
Starting from 14.
I'm a lot older than you, Kat. I've been in this business for a long time, 20 something years. And I would say yes, because of the life that I've been able to lead and I've traveled. I mean, I've been able to go to 30 something countries and met the most incredible people and been an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I have two daughters and I go, do I want them to be in entertainment? And I feel my husband's also in entertainment. And I feel like being an artist and having a right side of the brain, which is the creative, the right one? The right one?
Yeah.
The right one. It's the right one.
Up there, I don't know.
I don't know what's right. The right one. Brings a level of pain. And I always say, turn your pain into purpose. But I've suffered. I haven't suffered. It's hard to say that because it's all relative. And I understand that I come from a background of privilege, but I've suffered mentally greatly. And I think that being 15 years old, kind of becoming successful and being on, I think I was on sort of 45 magazine covers by the time I was 20 something.
You're like figuring out who you are at that age.
I didn't know who I was. And I thought that the world's adoration, or Australia and then as I go older, 26 was Pretty Little Liars, that adoration was what I needed to be happy for the longest time. And I still find myself going, oh, that TikTok didn't do well. Oh, I didn't get that job. Oh, that person said that about me. I must not be enough. I must not be worth it. Mm. And I'm still at my age trying to find self-love. And I don't, like, I think about a year ago, I said to you on the podcast, I don't love myself. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, I don't, like, I would do something bad to myself. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all. But I don't think I fully love myself. And now I'm starting to, but that to me came with age and acceptance that what I had been through was traumatic. To be told that you're loved and great for so long is traumatic, because when you don't get it, you feel like you're not worth anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So would I do it again? Yes. But I wish that I had more tools when I was younger, when I was in my teens, when I was in my early 20s. I wish I had known what I know now. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm at the age I am. I wish I could go back to being younger, because it just would have been easier for me.
Yeah. Well, I think too, that's where social media can come in a positive way.
Yeah.
Because now the younger ones coming up, Gen have,
great.
There's a lot of mental health, like, you know, helpful things on social media for people now, you know, and it's like different. When we were coming up, it was like a different world, you know?
I was going to ask Kat about this too, because because I'm a millennial, it was all about working until you burn out. Like it was
millennial. It was all about working until you burn out. I mean, that's honestly how I started the TikTok. Like I'd reach out to brands at like 3 a.m. Like the grind was the thing. Like if you're not sleeping, you're doing it right. So.
People who don't do that, I have to shift my thoughts about them, because I, you know, my first thought, I'm just being honest, is like, oh, that's lazy. But I don't know if we can. I know I couldn't. At the end of last year, I stopped for 3 weeks because I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not even gonna post anything. I'm done. And it was really scary for me because I try to post once a day. And I had to stop because I was like, they're still gonna love you and they're still gonna be there even if you stop for 3 weeks. Do you feel that way? Like what if you just want a week off or 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off? Can you do it? It's a fear.
Yeah, because you don't wanna come back and it's not the same. It's not, you're irrelevant all of a sudden, like quote unquote, because you're basing your worth off of something so external. Yeah, I do feel pressure, but I think the pressure is fixed when I know that my creativity isn't the highest it could be when I'm feeling that way. I'm not the best mom I could be. I'm not the best friend I could be. So it's easier for me in that sense to detach. But also it's like what you said, sometimes you detach when you're going through something and use your pain and turn it into power. Like when because co-parenting is so difficult. Like when my daughter didn't want to leave and she was hanging on to me and like screaming, like, no, don't, like, let me go. Like that was insane for me. That was an insane pain. Like you have to look at your kid and it's so weird. It's like, you're not meant to do that as a mom. Like biologically, it's just not natural. Right. So I felt like my heart was literally getting ripped out of me and I was bawling on the floor. Like I definitely had a panic attack. And then I was like, an hour later, I'm like, I have to film this because I cannot be the only one going through this. And obviously that's not everyone's first. I'm a creator. So that's my first thing. Like people are like, I could never think of filming myself when I'm crying. I'm like, oh, I do.
Yeah. Like, oh, don't waste this moment. Right. Yeah.
They love it when I cry. I'm like, oh. I think you can help a lot with that. It depends how you deal with those times, because I could have like stayed home and done nothing, but I made a video. I forced myself. It was my birthday. So I forced myself to go out and I just explained, like, I know it's not fair, but it's going to be worth it. Like your child will thank you. They're going to see everything you've done. It will all be worth it in the end for the kid. So.
Oh gosh. That's heartbreaking though. I can imagine. And like also on your birthday, like
it was a lot. Like I did a video actually on YouTube. I just posted it. It's called Tough Love. And it's what I wish someone would have told me when I was going through a divorce. Cause I think as women, I mean, in the state of Florida, the divorce laws are so different, but as women, we just don't have a grasp on certain things. Sometimes I've noticed, I'm not generalizing, but I know I didn't. And you just got to like get aware and know what to ask. Like in the video, I talk about these things someone needed to tell me. And it was like, don't feel bad for yourself. No one cares. No one cares. Great. You didn't do anything. So what? You still have to go through this. You still have to go through it. And it was this so difficult for me. The hardest part of my divorce was thinking I didn't deserve it, was thinking I didn't deserve.
Like, it's not fair.
Right.
Yeah. Like, why would I be the one that has to suffer and get my daughter taken away from me? Like,
would you
why?
Say victim mentality a little bit?
Yes. So victim mentality. And like, I wanted people to know I was hurting. Like, you need to know, like, I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. And then once I got rid of that, it shifted my perspective and it made me way smarter. And it made me think about things so much better. Like my ex, like I told him I didn't want him to come back. Cause, you know, he got the girlfriend painting the nails and my daughter came back with all her nails painted. And I was like, I thought she was too young. And then I also said, I remember when I painted my nails with my mom, it was amazing.
Right.
And I want to be the one to do that. Right. And then I'm like, why would you say that? That's so stupid. Pick your battles. Don't tell someone your weakness. Don't tell someone who's going through the same thing you are in a different way, something that they can use to hurt you, because you're not dealing with the same person anymore. So obviously every other weekend she'd come back with like full set of nails painted and like, and I'm like, that's so dumb. Even on my birthday, I assumed it would be my day just because it's my, but you know, it's not, don't assume anything. You're not entitled to anything. You don't deserve anything. Fight for it and be aware of it. And don't just let it, the thing with parenting plans, they can last your whole life. Like until she's like, what, 18, you got to stick with it. It's a lot. You have to think about Mother's Day. You have to think about Father's Day. Like just these little things you don't think of is going to affect the rest of your time with your kid. It's a lot. I don't even know how we got on this talk, but.
We will respect you though. When like, so Father's Day comes up and you go, well, making something for daddy, you know, and that to me, like, I'm a little bit of a petty person, but I'm just being honest. Like, I'm a little bit petty. Like my husband, if we broke up, he wouldn't take any of, I swear he would take none of my money. He would go live on his whatever, like whatever I want. He'd still be a nice guy. That's why, like he just, and I know people do change, but I've been with him for so long at this point. It's been 16 years. Like, he's just not that person. I, on the other hand,
you don't know what you're dealing
with. Suffer. And he even said, he was like, I'm so afraid, like, if we broke up, because you try to make me suffer.
Yeah,
I would.
Oh, yeah.
I wish that I was evolved enough, and that's what I'm working towards. But, you know, when you split up with someone, you just wish that, like, they were celebrating Mother's Day, like, he was doing something for you for Mother's Day and you were doing something for him for Father's Day. But like, life just doesn't work out like that. And sometimes you're trying to be the bigger person and the other person isn't. And that's really difficult. And I don't know about the court system, but like, who chooses what days you have? Because I know a friend of mine, Jana Kramer, was talking about the fact that like, she didn't get her kids for Christmas and it was really difficult for her. And, and you know, I would want, and again, this is not probably not realistic. Like, is there a way to like be close together? I mean, if you don't like each other, that's one thing, but close together. So everyone gets it, you know, like how do they choose which person gets which day? Cause that would be the hardest for me.
It's the hardest. I didn't have her for Christmas this past year. And it was the hardest. It alternates every year. Every state law is different. Florida is a little more strict. I have her like 80% of the time. But then again, I didn't really think it was an issue when I was going through mediation stuff because he didn't have a girlfriend at that point. So when he got the girlfriend, all of a sudden, like, wants to be super involved again, all this stuff, like, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, now we're actually following the rules here verbatim. And even when you say about the money thing, we did TikTok together. Like, it was both of us in video. So it's like, how do we divide this? Like, I can make it go on if it's just me. You can't if it's just you, but you are still a part of it, right? And then you're right. It's figuring all these things out. And if we could be like, and I'm sure that'll happen in time, but I feel like you need to have that mutual respect, co-parenting and like harmoniously, like blended. I mean, I think that would be amazing. That would be so an ideal world, right? But you know.
Well, you kept the TikTok, and I was like, I remember around that time, I wasn't too involved in TikTok back then, but when I saw that you kept the TikTok, I was like, good for her because that was your future.
Yeah. I knew it. And like, and he would like, if it was me, like I came up with these things and like, I really wanted it and I would like make him do it again and again and again. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's not right.
Yes. I'm like, that another word, yes, another yes. take.
You're like,
it was such a big fear that like I would be on there on my own and people were like, we don't want you. Like, what makes you think we would support just you now? Like, you know, and it's so much pressure because all of a sudden nothing's for sure. Like, you don't know what the future is. So yeah.
And now look at you. I mean, hello, bazillions of followers in, and it only keeps growing. Yeah. I mean,
acting good.
So you clearly did the right thing. Yeah. I'm like, yes,
everything
girl.
Happens sometimes. I know sometimes when we're in it, we're like, oh, some everything happens for a reason. And right. I know I always think you gotta get my quote, another quote I have is like, nothing if it's good, it's hard. Mm. I always say that.
That's so true.
So difficult, right? Lexi.
In every way.
In every way. We always want it to be hard. Well, maybe not always.
Have you seen her drive? That's a whole nother thing. I was like about to vomit on the way down. I was like,
grandma,
you don't speed up when there's a car. When there's a car literally in front of us, she speeds up. She's like, that is her light to go like, okay, let's go forward faster.
No.
The car's up in front of me.
She sits in the car and she's like, turn right, turn left.
No, she goes into other lanes, I'm like, we're still in the same, like, we're not going any further. We're just in a different lane now.
We're just next to them now.
Yeah, who
needs Google Maps when you've got Tam and Sursok?
Because she'll be like, oh, it's right. And I'll be like, yeah, that it told you that like 20 minutes ago.
It's called
ago.
A Wii ride.
It's called I'm gonna shit my pants right. It's called I shat a little bit in my pants, right?
That's why the diapers are in the back.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing them. Don't you worry. I'm wearing them just for you in the car. I always say every time, I'm like, I'll never do it again. Nuh-uh. Never again. Never. I always text my husband, never again. Am I driving?
Don't even think about it.
And here I am.
Here she is. She is. Couldn't get enough. Couldn't get enough.
Up to my life insurance. But yes, everything good is hard.
Yeah, everything good is hard.
What's been helping me, or what helped me so much, was living by this. What if everything you said you were grateful for yesterday is all you were left with today? So it makes you think like, oh my God, I'm grateful for the shoes on my feet, my house, my parents' health, my daughter's health, like things you just take for granted because you have it in front of you every day. Like, and that just made me really just be in a better mindset of like,
yeah,
you are blessed. This isn't a victim mindset. You've been given a lot. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah. Or I tell myself that.
No,
it can
true.
Always get worse. I say to my husband, I go, by the way, it can always get worse.
Yeah, it can. If you think about it, it can be so much like, worse.
There's people going through some real shit.
Yeah.
Like really dark stuff.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
Like, Roxy's driving is not that bad.
Come on, that's a treat.
We could always be off the mountain. We could always be rolled off the mountain on our backs. It could get worse. My little nausea and dizzy spell is not so bad.
Don't you love how she's a glass half full? Don't you just love that?
Look at life, right?
It's fine. Like I'm a little walking around a little bit tipsy. You know,
see, it's all about changing your perspective. Yeah. Damn it, called a wee ride.
We're not dead, so we're good.
So, okay, here we are now, 2023. What are we all wanting this year? Like, what are we manifesting? What do we want?
2023. A new driver.
That's it.
A new driver.
No more wee
ride.
Yeah,
that's all. Thanks for having me.
Just life, just like, to be alive.
I think mine is going to be, growth and like relationships and self, like you were saying, self-love. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you guys ask me, what do I love about myself? Like physically, I say that today, but sometimes tomorrow I won't like it, you know, or someone will make a comment and I'll be like, oh, I look disgusting. Like someone said, what'd they say the other day that had me looking at a picture and I was critiquing myself? Oh, you look really thin. Are you okay? And I was like, oh, am I okay? Like, yes, I'm okay. Like, but I was looking and like, there was a picture of my arm and it had like a vein and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to think I look too skinny. So just growth in self-affirming, like love and relationships and social media and just being a better human being and just learning, growing.
That's a good one.
What's yours, Roxy?
So mine is, I don't know if I've told you this yet, Tammin.
I cannot wait to hear it.
Your friend over here has turned a little bit of a woo-woo leaf this year. Would you
like into all my stuff?
I'm getting a little wooey, but not
wooey means like I'm big into manifestation and I'm big into all the things and the journaling. Yep. And I have a sign. I've got the lucky girl mentality. I've got a sign that says I'm the luckiest girl in the world and everything works out for me. Mm. And my husband and I say it every day. He was not on my side until recently. And now everyone's in my manifestation. I changed my life 2 years ago. I wrote a check to myself. I made exactly $10 away from that check. Last year, I wrote a check to myself. It was $50,000 off. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to make it this year. Then my husband's dad had recently passed away. And in one of his bank accounts was $50,000 to the nose. And so 2 years in a row, the check that I wrote to myself has come true.
No, it works. Like, I wrote it in my closet. This is what my closet is going to look like. These are the clothes I'm going to have. And this is the bag I'm going to have. Nice. And now like it's all, and even I didn't want to be like a young mom in theory.
You have to also be very specific about it too.
Yeah. But even when I wrote down, I did want to be a young mom. I guess I didn't realize I wanted to like be at a certain age where I could still go after. Cause like my mom had my brother when she was a lot older. And I remember being like, I don't want that, but you're so right. Everything I've written down has happened. It's so happened.
And I'm going to let Roxy finish her sentence because I'd love to share my story. It so does. But I was in my parents' house, and this is a really cool story. In my parents' house, Chris Hemsworth was on Home and Away, which is a TV show I started on. We were on the show together. And And he came to my 21st birthday. When I left, I had a big card from all the cast that said like, you know, goodbye, you'll do great, whatever. And Chris Hemsworth wrote, yo, Tem, I'll see you in Hollywood. And I thought, I sat in that for a second. I was like, you sure did. Like he manifested that for himself. And he had just started. So when I left the show, he had just started the show. And I was just like, you did that, man. Like you told yourself you were going to be in Hollywood and you made it. Like you made it, you know? So there's a big, big, big story. So anyway, what the hell are you doing for 2023?
What do you want?
She's like, what? It's like, I want Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Christmas next year.
Okay. Yeah.
What do I want? So turning a little bit of the woo-woo on, just a teeny bit.
Like saying vagina for some reason. Is that what you call it?
That's hoo-ha.
Oh, that's it's kind of similar.
Hoo-ha.
Sure, your hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha.
Oh, no, stop making noises.
Maybe my hoo-ha is woo.
Okay, you're getting woo-woos.
So I'm getting a little woo-woo. I started doing breathwork meditation this year. Just, you know, I'm like, I'm going to start slow.
That's not sex once a month, Roxy. No, it's a totally different thing.
Well, if my vagina is involved, then.
Okay. Hold on, I got to breathe this one out.
He's like, I'm out. Okay, we're going back on track.
Okay, back on track. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so. I'm doing the five minutes of meditation at least a day. That's good. And I've been doing like, I got the paddle.
Yeah.
So I'm doing lymphatic drainage after the shower, So it's a little wooey for me. It's a wee bit woo woo. So I do that. And then I also.
With Botox. Okay.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
I meditate.
As
I get injected into the zap.
It's multitasking.
Know what? It's you gotta do a little bit of it all.
That was a new Yes, I did do Botox for the first time this year. I like it. That's good.
I like it.
It's good.
I have not, but I'm too scared. But maybe I will.
But I am also looking for deeper connection too.
I'm out.
That's another guy. I know. She's like, I can't.
It's too close. I can't do it.
What do you mean by that? Like deeper connection.
I feel like I want to get more connected with people. Right, because I feel like being like an extrovert and like you know, doing a lot of events and doing all that kind of, I have a very, you know, with a lot of people, not with everybody, but with a lot of people, you know, it's a quick interaction, it's, you know, very like, you know, surface. Yes, and I want to go deeper this year, not with everybody, but
because I feel like I've known you for years. We've done this podcast for years. And sometimes I feel like I don't know you. And that's not, I'm not saying that to be like,
what do you mean?
Break the news. But sometimes I feel like, you know, like I like live with my outsides on, like my insides on the outside. Like
right.
I'm very honest with only a couple, I'm honest with everyone, but I'd say like, you know, you pulled my tampon out once. You know what I mean? Like I'm very close to certain people.
Yes.
Whereas like, you, I don't think you'd let me do that.
I might if it got stuck and I needed it out.
Like I would be that kind of person that's like, help me, you know, like it's stuck.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I don't think you would be that.
I mean, girl, if it was stuck, I would have you help. That's happening.
That's how much you mean to me. I do like that for you.
That's a good one. I like that too.
Right? Okay. More connected. And Tam.
I'm pretty perfect. I mean, I've done all the work now.
Newsflash.
The problem is every year is like, love yourself and be more vulnerable. So it's actually going to be more. I think the biggest goal is this year, because we're living in Nashville now. We left LA, live in Nashville. We also live in Australia, but we've sold a lot of property. So I want to like kind of create a dream home for my family. Ooh. And that's going to be wherever that is. I want to create that. And I know that's stuff or a thing, but it's more than that for me. It's not just the money idea of buying a house, but it's creating the life that I want for my family. Mm-hmm. And I don't want more stability, because we don't have stability. We're traveling and making movies. We'll be in New Zealand for 3 months. I love being in New Zealand for making two movies there. It's great. That's my life. Mm-hmm. But I want a home. Like, I want to create a home where my kids, they don't want to sleep in separate rooms. I always want to sleep together, but I don't know. We'll make the second room like a playroom, but I want to create more of a home for my family instead of it just always being so transient.
Yeah, I like that for you too. I want you
and
to
deeper
have
connections.
And deeper connections after the house.
That's about it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Before we let Kat go, we do a little game at the end. This is a fun game. This is gonna be we didn't make it too hard for you. But this is about, and Roxy's gonna ask us, because we're both on TikTok. You're obviously bigger than me.
Yes.
But we're gonna do some
word games, right?
Like, yeah, some what word games, like what does BRB mean? Like stuff like that. And you've got to answer, like, what are these letters?
Yes. What do they mean?
That's
a good game, you guys. That's fun.
And if you guys don't know these,
don't
just
show me the answer. Your answers. Like, if you don't know them,
if you
can see,
you can't though. Remember, you're blind.
Like, I know my glasses.
Okay, so if you don't know these, just rest assured, feel bad about yourself, because my 8-year-old knows what all of these are.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Okay. I can still see it. Made them here, so big because he thinks that we're blind.
We're blind. Okay. First one.
Yeah.
FR.
FR?
I know this one.
For real?
I was gonna say that. Dang, I was. I'm not gonna lie after Kat says it. I promise. I'm gonna say for real.
Okay. Sus.
That's suspect.
Okay. Or suspicious. Same thing. Fine.
Should you ask either of us?
Well, I think it's a game, right? So you guys
say to this like as fast as you can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like that. Okay.
Sorry,
ready?
I forgot the rules. I wrote them.
Okay.
But I forgot the rules.
Okay. RN.
Right now?
Is that right?
You guys are like knowing all these.
Oh my gosh, I'm old.
Registered nurse?
TFW.
The way forward?
Nope.
TFW.
Yeah, the
wet fart.
That would be TWF. What does that mean? I don't know.
Do you guys give up, or are we even more guesses?
The TFW.
Talk with
new.
TFW.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
Go.
No. I don't know. Do you know?
I do, because I have the answer. You'd like to know?
Yes. Okay.
That feeling when.
No one says that.
Okay.
Do you say that? I don't say that.
No, never said that. But
okay. Oh, SMH.
Shaking my head.
Hate. I just thought it was so much hate. I was like, why is everyone being mean to me?
I've always wondered what that one means, because I see that a lot too. It's like SMH, and I'm like, what?
So Kat knew it. Shaking my head.
And I don't want to be all chuggy or anything, chuggy, and not what's knowing what the word meant.
What's chuggy?
It's like you're not cool. Or untrendy.
Oh, did you just say like a
Gen I just Z? Used it in a sentence.
I have no idea.
I did. Okay. Okay. And then POV. That's easy.
Point of view.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. POV is not Gen Z. They didn't make that up.
They don't have any more.
Oh, wait, I have one more. Ready? Okay. We'll see. I feel like TBH.
To be honest.
Oh my God. See, you guys know.
There's more. I sent you more than this, Roxy.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving you, okay, we're going to do three more. And okay, then three more. Okay. Go about her life. Okay. Go to the text message. I was like, use
this. Roxy was like, these are the ones I don't know. And I was
like, to clarify.
There you go. GameQuitters.com.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay, here we go.
Oh, these are hard.
Okay, okay. Put hide your phone. You're not supposed to be looking.
Oh, no, I'm not. Do you have it?
Yes, I have it.
It's the blind leading the blind. Okay, the
blind leading the blind. Mama's got to put glasses on.
Okay, we're going to, your glasses.
Here we go.
That's great. Okay, we're going
to. All right. Here we go.
Go.
Banger.
Like a good song?
Not bang her, but banger.
Yeah, like a great song, like that's a banger.
Yeah, it is. Cool. Yeah, banger. Awesome, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, brain emoji. This one's naughty.
No, that's obvious. That's like
brain emoji.
That's just like,
wait, I did not know crazy. This when I looked at this.
Brain emoji's naughty.
Yes,
it is.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Like giving head.
It means yes.
The brain.
No, uh-huh. It doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I thought that was eggplant.
Sure. Oh, that's, I think that's intercourse.
I don't send any of these. And if I did, my husband would be like, what's for dinner? Yeah. He would not. He'd be like, oh, we're having eggplant.
Yeah.
Like lasagna.
Yeah. He'd be like,
I didn't want to. Oh, by the way, oh. I'm this old that I found out a week ago.
Okay. What?
The Netflix and chill is Netflix and sex.
Yes. You didn't know that?
Me too. Not a week ago. I found out like when someone asked me to do that. And I was like, it was just, they thought, that's what it is.
Netflix and chill.
I was like, I'll Netflix and chill any person. I was like, I love that.
Girls,
I have a question. Netflix and chill. There's no part of having sex that's chill.
Well, it could be chill.
For you, Roxy. Yeah. For like, you. Just happens
to do all the work.
For you. Okay, one more.
I'm doing my breath work right now.
I did breath work.
She's like, I'm meditating.
I'm in my hoo-ha phase. Or,
are you okay? She's like, yes, I'm meditating.
Yes. Okay. Ooh. Oh.
A hard one.
Okay, wait. Hold on. God. Okay.
One last
ooh,
one.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh.
Make it hard. Like, make a one that you don't know.
Okay. I don't know, like all of these. Okay.
We'll be right back in 30 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. It's happening.
It's an outbreak right now.
Oh, simp. Simp. S I N P.
Nope. It's someone that basically, well, I've only used it like heard for guys that are like whipped by girls or.
Is that what it is?
It means yes.
Okay, choose one that's not sexual. What is wrong with you?
Okay, pushing pee. Pushing pee. Are you going to push pee? Hey, this is a good one for us to end on because we should all be pushing pee today after this.
I have no clue.
Pushing. Pushing.
It's not what you think it is.
Give me a hint.
Goodness.
Pushing positive.
Oh, you got it, girl. Oh, shit. Damn it.
I thought it was like a drug or something.
Girl with nice feet.
Yeah.
I'm like ecstasy.
Like pushing drugs.
Only like, pushing drugs today.
I would like to try drugs, but I've never tried them.
I don't think
I would like them or I would die. And so
it's either one of those. Nothing in between.
Like both are bad options.
I think that would be the final unhinging for you. Doing some ecstasy.
imagine me.
Oh my God, what is going on?
Kat, thank you so much.
You are the best, Kat.
I adore you. I hope that one day I'll see you with our mutual friend, Alice, who I also adore. And
yes, this is great. Thanks for having me, you guys. So fun.
Keep going, you. Making magic and pushing pee.
Pushing pee.
I'm going to keep pushing pee.
You got to push pee.
Yeah. And what is a last advice you can give to anyone listening to you?
Yes.
In your work or life or whatever it is, what is a little bit of a piece of advice.
Yes.
You can impart on the world. Yes. And our followers.
Maybe something you live by.
I think it's like, it sounds kind of mean, but like you don't deserve anything. Like don't take anything for granted. Like really appreciate it and don't expect it. Like don't be the one that's dumbfounded in the corner. Like learn what you got to learn, know what you got to know, be prepared for life and just don't expect things, I guess. that's helped me.
I know, and I'm gonna cry in my coffee. Yeah, I know. Just, I'm sobbing.
Pushing P, I can't stop.
This is a really positive podcast.
We're pushing P all over the place.
Just pushing P. Well, thanks, Kat, so much. Oh, and we will speak to you guys later.
Oh, but wait, where can we find you, Kat?
I mean, if you're under a rock, then sure.
Kat Stickler, just on everything.
Really successful people, just so you notice, they just say, just find my podcast under my name. Like, other stuff, like we're like, women on like top. At- go at women on top 126.
Really like, successful official. People, don't forget the official.
Really successful people, just like.
And the period in the middle.
You can find me. Yeah. You'll find me.
One day, Tam, and one day we will be there. You'll just find us.
Just find me on the internet. On YouTube webs. Podcasts. Yeah.
You guys are funny.
You think so?
Oh, thank you.
I think so. Yeah. That's funny. You guys are good. So nice meeting you both.
Well, thanks so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye, honey.
And you guys can find us on Women on Top Official on Instagram
and Women on Top Podcast on Facebook and on TikTok. Women on Top Official.
Amazing. And I am Tam Sersok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women on Top. Yeah. It's a high five. It's okay. We're good.